This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today we're coming back to a subject that is important. Friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And indeed, the greatest enemies that face us today typically come by way of media. And of course, education, the institutions of education seem to have a strong influence in the battle of the worldviews. But friends, one of the messages that we need to be aware of is the message that comes by way of the mode. That is, oftentimes the message is in the mode. People don't understand that ideas are often communicated by way of the mode of expression. That is the zeitgeist itself, the way in which the world presents itself in media, often is rooted in a certain idea, and those ideas eventually form our way of thinking about reality itself, or the lack thereof. So today we're going to come back to the question of media and its influence upon the mind. Are we taking one of the thousand exit ramps off the highway of reality as we absorb media, whether that be sci-fi novels or whether that be movies or games or fill in the blank? Today we have so much more in terms of alternative ways to exit the highway of reality. Whereas in earlier generations, it was typically alcohol, perhaps drugs. But now the modern man is exiting the highway of reality in so many different ways. In fact, the suicide rate, the drug use rate, drug deaths, alcohol deaths, 4 to 5 times what they were 15 years ago, which means we have crossed the line of despair and people are running away from reality as fast as they possibly can. And how is that affecting our children who have access to this media and these forums? What do we believe? What do we really believe? Are we absorbing ideas by way of the mode and the various messages that counter what we thought we believed when we said we were Christians? Are we absorbing the wrong view of reality, the wrong view of God, of ourselves, of this reality we live in, this world, God's message of redemption that comes to us by the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that being displaced by the fakes, the pseudo-saviors? Well, friends, we need to come to grips with this question of media. What is it that we are inculcating? What is this worldview that is coming by way of the mode and message communicated by media? That's the question we want to grapple with on this edition of the program. Joining me is Philip Telfer, and he has written a new book called Why Save Alexander, and he has a number of excellent resources related to the use of media in the Christian family. Philip, welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for having me on your show.
This is such an important subject. I tell you, Philip, we wouldn't be discussing this in 1880. Things have changed so dramatically in just the last 5,000 or 100 years versus the previous 5,900 years. Things have changed. We're dealing with some pretty significant monsters here.
Yes, and parenting has always been a challenge. I mean, we can read that going back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But we definitely have new conduits of diversion, time-wasting, things that with warped, you know, messages, warped worldview that continues to be disseminated through electronic media. And so we are facing something that's new to our generation. Like no other generation ever has. And it's a challenge as a parent. You know, I'm a parent. I've got an adult daughter. I've got a couple grandkids. And I've got three teenagers in my home right now. And it's not easy in the 21st century as a Christian family to navigate the challenges we're facing today. And frankly, it's not that I have a history where I can go back and say, hey, mom and dad, how did your parents help you navigate these things? It's interesting that my mom recalls a time when they got a TV into their house for the first time. And actually, in both my mom and my dad's case, they got TVs in their home before they had indoor plumbing. So they were in that transition. But, you know, the world that they were facing that was transitioning is nothing like the ones our children are facing today.
Today, it seems that we are drowning in diversions and, of course, perversions as well, but diversions. And I think parents need to do two things. One is they have to select the modes of communication versus, you know, will they take in every mode? Will they take in iPhones? Will they take in movies? Will they take in the television? Will they incorporate all of the Facebook and the various media forms that are offered online? And then to what extent do we control the quantity of this? Because this just bombards us constantly. And so we have to control the quantity of it and select the appropriate modes that would be healthy for our particular families. And how do families make those choices, Philip?
Yeah, well, one of the ways that we shouldn't default to is what I call merely building strong fences. And let me give an analogy, you know, using livestock, because I've raised livestock. I used to raise sheep. And the way, you know, people like me, you know, when I used to raise sheep, we just build strong fences. And the reason you build strong fences is so that you can walk away and you can ignore for most of the day the animals in your care. That's much different. You know, as I'm reading the Christmas story in the Gospels, and we have the opening of the shepherds out in their fields watching their flocks by night, they're with the sheep. And so there's a big difference, you know, between animal management and just building strong fences and being present. And as we think about parenting, you know, I believe that there are fences that we build. I mean, so I'm not saying we don't have fences. We don't have rules and guidelines in our home, but those can't replace the presence that a parent needs to have in their children's lives.
Hmm.
So we need to come alongside them and walk through this together, because we're all learning together.
You know, yes.
Moms and dads are learning.
Yes.
It's not just the kids, you know. And so one of the things I really encourage parents to do is, and it's the hardest hill to climb, is that we have to first model it. And what I'm finding, you know, I've spent over 20 years speaking to teens and parents. But what I'm finding is that there are a lot of parents that are struggling to model this for their kids. And if you don't do that, then it's hard to mentor them. So that's the first hill to climb.
So you have to consider what things are most edifying for yourself and then communicate that and pattern that for your children. Certainly, we don't want to be hypocrites, you know. We want to pattern something that would be healthy for our children. And what is the typical way that you instruct parents on that? Does it have to do with, you know, what the outcome is, whether this is edifying, whether this is going to be spiritually nurturing for ourselves and for our children?
Well, my concern from the very beginning, before I even began speaking about media, was really that we are following Christ, you know, that we're keeping our eyes fixed on Him and we're looking to Him. It's interesting when I've spoke to groups and I've said, how many would love to get a list of all of the bad media, you know, to stay away from, if I could give you like a perfect list? And people raise their hands and I tell them, you know, I can't give you that list. I don't have it, but I know someone who does. So I want you to write this name down, you know? So everybody gets out their pens and they're getting ready to write the name. And I said, the Holy Spirit, write that down. And you see, we don't often go to the Holy Spirit to say, help, help us. We're having a hard time discerning. We're not making good choices. We're making bad choices and we're not liking the fruit of the bad choices. We're in need of direction. This is all about just the spiritual life. And, you know, it was just back when I was thinking about a ministry to start, dinosaurs and creation was already taken, you know, plenty of good ministries doing that. But certainly one of the things that seemed to be neglected was this idea of media discernment. And, I couldn't really start a ministry called, you know, Teens and Families Living Radically for Jesus Ministries, because most people would just kind of laugh at that and, you know, not open the door for you. But really, that's what it's about. You know, I was just really wanting to try to originally it was, you know, get in front of young people to encourage them to walk with Jesus. And then I realized as I was growing in my faith, wow, I need to really talk to parents, you know, and parents and teens. So that's kind of how it changed. But really the platform, it's what I call the not so secret secret of our ministry, Media Talk 101, is it's really about what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? You know, and it's not going to be necessarily this, hey, I'm going to give you 5 steps and that's what it's going to look like. It's going to require a relationship with him and walking with him.
Let's talk a little bit about your new book, Why Save Alexander. This is a fiction novel about a young man who's a gamer. Give us a little bit of a background as to why you wrote this this book.
Yeah, it was interesting. Many years ago, I was speaking at a group of teens in Knoxville, Tennessee. And afterwards, a 12-year-old boy came up to me. Usually, when 12-year-old boys would come up to me after these, they were usually angry at me. This boy was different. You know, he was very thankful. And he said, Mr. Telfer, I'm so glad you spoke to us about these things today. And he says, boy, some of the stuff you talked about is right on. He says, I play a lot of video games. And he says, honestly, they're bad. But then he began sharing some of his background. He says, well, you know, I live with my grandma and my grandpa. That told me something right there, you know, come from a broken home. And then what he said next just blew my mind, that at 12 years old, he could actually communicate what he communicated. He said, really, he says, I'm very lonely and I don't know what to do with myself. And my heart broke and I realized, boy, he's just speaking for his generation. And that's, you know, gets down to the heart, the soul of, in this case, you know, the gamer, the hardcore gamer, and who is using games, you know, or exiting the highway of reality, as you call it, and pursuing this, but it's what he wants, but it's not what he needs. You know, there's, and so it never satisfies. And so I've seen this time and time again. And over the years, I've spoke with teens about this and parents. It's a big question parents are always asking. But that's kind of really was the what motivated me to say, you know, I want to try to communicate through a story about a gamer, you know, and it's really about his soul.
So it's an exit of the highway of reality, but it's also an exit of the highway of relationship. That is,
yes,
this gaming exits the highway of relationship and puts you in a lonely world east of Eden. Where, of course, Cain was wandering. But this is what happens in the modern world. And how do we redeem this? And how do you present that in your book, Why Save Alexander?
Well, I thought it would be fun to, you know, one of my favorite stories as a kid when I was growing up was Rudyard Kipling's Captain's Courageous, you know, because it's about a spoiled rich kid who gets thrown into this, you know, environment that's foreign, and it forces him to have to grow up. And I used to think about that and go like, what would that look like today? You know, what if you took a spoiled, you know, hardcore gamer and you throw him into an environment where he doesn't have his video games anymore and he doesn't even have electricity and he's got to learn how to grow up. And so that's really what this is about. You know, it's about a 17-year-old young man named Alex Brooks, he's obsessed with going pro, but then all of a sudden he goes missing, and then he's facing life or death struggles in a foreign culture that doesn't have a power grid. And that's the irony of the story. And the reader is, you know, follows at the beginning going like, wow, this kid's really a jerk. But you begin to empathize with his background, and then you begin to cheer him on towards heroic manhood. And that's really what the story is about, is him relearning what it means to become a man and what it takes to really be a hero.
Hmm. Is this something you think the average young man could relate to? In other words, did you write this for young men, or is this for just about anybody?
Well, you know, my target was definitely that what they call the young adult, you know, 12 to 18. And there's not a lot out there for young men, of course, when you write a story, you're hoping it'll appeal to young men and young women. And as an adult, I like to read Christian young adult novels. There's very few of them out there. But as a parent, you know, I'm a homeschool dad. My kids read. They're voracious readers.
That's right.
And it's hard to find good books. And so that's part of it, too. It's like, wow, I want to write a book that I would like my son to read, you know, and I would hope that it would be inspiring to him.
So this young man goes into a dangerous scenario, a real scenario in which his life is somewhat threatened. But can you say the same thing for a young man who's wandering into the wasteland of media and getting lost in the gaming world? Is there something dangerous about getting lost in the media world?
Yes, there is. And, you know, for many years I've been sharing with especially teen boys, I used to call it my top four concerns about video games. And then I changed it to considerations because I wanted them to consider, you know, I'm going to tell you what to think. I want to teach you how to think. So I want you to consider these things. So I used to have four. I have five. It changed to five because of you, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And hearing you speak, I'm like, I added one. You know, after hearing Kevin Swanson talk about this subject, I'm like, ooh, I've got to add another one.
So what are they?
And now it's seven, but I've already talked about some. And the first one is just considering the soul of the gamer. I think anytime we're talking about this, we have to remember this is not just an issue. We're talking about a soul. And we're talking about people who are lost and in need of a savior. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're Christian youth that are being pulled, you know, in a direction. And so then it's a discipleship. So it's either salvation or it's going to be about discipleship. And the second one is about redeeming the time. You know, it's something we need to consider because the Bible says redeem the time for the days are evil. And if there's any day that could be called evil, you know, certainly ours fits.
Is that because if we do not redeem the time, we will wind up not being watchful and be taken by even more severe enemies? Is that because we are in battle that we read that in Ephesians 5?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're in battle, and you know, redeeming is purchasing back something you've lost. And so we've already lost time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter talks about that, you know, in his letter. He says, you know, we spent enough time doing the things of the world. And now we've got to move on. And the world kind of looks at us and says, why aren't you joining us? So we have to purchase back time. And so that comes in conflict because, you know, that's the third point that I make is that we need to consider the research that is proving what moms of teenage boys already know, and that video games are addictive. So, you know, research is behind, many years behind the moms. And so it's addictive. And so it's not just a time sink. It's a black hole for many young men.
Yeah.
And so then the fourth thing is the one I added after hearing you, is just how video games foster escapism. And once again, it's not that other things don't. There are plenty of forms of media that offer that escape from reality, but video games are really the king of the hill right now on escaping the world of reality. And it's interesting, if you keep up with articles in the news like you do and like I do on this issue that even the secular press have picked up on, of young adults' failure to launch in the 21st century. You read these, and I have yet to read a single one of these articles that does not bring up this issue of video games as being one of the issues, one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, then the next one is what I'd call the false sense of accomplishment. It's actually one of my greatest concerns because there's this sense, you know, God has built into a young man the desire to go build a kingdom, to conquer the enemy, to rescue the damsel in distress. But all that energy is being sucked out of him through and spent on video games, on something that's not even real. And in the meantime, it's what he's not doing. And he's not learning how to go build the kingdom of God, how to go rescue the damsel in distress.
I like to present
fight the enemy.
I like to present the example of the battle for Helm's Deep, you know, where you got a handful of warriors down in Helm's Deep defending the women and children who are in the back of the cave from the tens of thousands of orcs that are coming down and into the valley. And meantime, you have a kid back in the cave playing the Helm's Deep game. You know, he's out of touch with reality. There is a war going on, and we are defending the women and children, our very lives, against 10,000 Zork. And this kid is playing the Helm's Deep game in the back of the cave. You know, now we've got a disconnect here. There's a disconnect here.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing that's a big concern with games is the content. You know, that's a huge issue. Because, and this is what I would ask any teen young man that would say, hey, what do you think of this game? Or what do you think of that? I said, well, tell me this. You know, is there anything in that game that if you were to do in real life, you would actually be breaking one of the moral laws of God? Doesn't that matter to you? You know, because Jesus taught us, it's not just what you do. Because that's what I hear. That's what I've heard from young people for years now, 20 years now. They said, well, I wouldn't do that in real life. That's the exit right there. You know, I'm okay because I really wouldn't do that in real life. Yeah, but Jesus said if you have lust in your heart for a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you have hate towards someone, you've committed murder. So it's not just I wouldn't do that in real life. It's a concern. And then there's for the more mature, I hit them with this. I'm like, okay, so we got the moral law of God. But let's talk about the law of Jesus Christ, which is the law of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so is there anything in that game that if you were doing in real life would be unloving towards God or unloving towards your neighbor? And that's a huge consideration.
Yeah.
So, I'm deeply concerned about all those things, but I've talked about them for years. But what I wanted to do with this book is instead of just preaching at kids about this, which I still do, and I won't hesitate to do. I believe it's good to do, but I wanted to embed some of these ideas in an adventure, you know, in a story of a transformative, adventure for my character, Alex, who begins to see some of these things for himself because of the circumstances he finds himself in.
So does Alexander get saved in the book? I suppose that's spoiler.
Spoiler. No, that's okay. Yeah, that's of course. I'm an evangelist. Of course, you can say.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hope, isn't it?
Right. You know? And so, what would be the goal? What do you want to see happen with young men who read this book?
And so now it's about discipleship. You know, what am I doing? What's my purpose in life? The Bible says, you know, in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And so God has a plan, you know, for a person's life. And I think a lot of this wandering through the desert that many young people are going through is a lack of divine purpose. It's, you know, we live in this culture that's all focused on me and myself and self-actualization. And they're trying, and everything that they're seeing on social media and the media, whether it's television or the movies, it's all convincing them that it's all about themselves. And that's a very dark, lonely world. And that's really what this story is about. It's about a lonely boy who needs to find out why he's lonely. You know, why there's this cavernous void in his soul that video games and other things that he's pursuing. Just they never fill. So that's the hope, that there would be a sense after reading the book of a greater purpose in life.
Well, I think that's what the gospel has brought to us. It's a restoration of relationship. Adam broke that relationship. Cain broke his relationship with his brother and began to wander as a vagabond east of Eden. John Paul Sartre defined hell as other people, and that, of course, is a demonic description of hell. But ultimately, that's the isolation of modern man as the existentialist of the modern age wanders with Cain and with Sartre east of Eden. But that's natural man. That's what natural man's been doing for 6,000 years. But it's Christ that restores relationship, that reconciles us to God and reconciles us to each other and takes us out of this hermetically sealed existence of loneliness, away from God, away from others, and brings us back into community, back into the church, and back into relationship with God. And so I think what we're looking for in the gospel is a restoration of relationship, a restoration of truth about ourselves, about reality, about salvation, about redemption. Even these games, yeah, and typically movies and books, they want to present something of a redemption, but it is a shallow redemption, and it doesn't really restore us to Eden. It doesn't restore us to the glory that God has for us. It rather gives us something of a pseudo redemption and perhaps even pseudo relationships, especially in the electronic atmosphere of the internet. So, you know, I think what we're talking about is the restoration of all of these things we've lost in the fall, and something that that media cannot do for us.
And that reminds me, you know, it's easy to focus on, you know, my character, the 17-year-old in this book, but really, it's not just about him. It's about the relationship he doesn't have with his dad that he needs to have. It's about the relationship with his mom also. And, you know, the gospel, as we're talking about the gospel, you know, the gospel, we're introduced to it by that prophecy, you know, how the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so this really is also a story about an absent dad who is also thrown in turmoil when his son goes missing and is faced with, you know, his own kingdom that he's been building. And now what's it all worth, you know, when you're faced with that? So It is about relationships, and that's really the direction the book is going.
And we certainly find that the electronic medium cannot give us the warm relationship of person to person, personality to personality, and of course, ultimately, our relationship with God, the true and living God, the God of all love, and the God who communicates that love to us and enables us to love others as well. It restores relationship, but also it restores that relationship based upon love. And that's what we all need. That's the God-shaped vacuum that is within all of us. And the gospel restores that. And, you know, that's where Jesus brings that true, eternal living water into our souls and blesses us with his salvation. Well, once again, my friends, this is a gospel issue. We're up against a gospel issue here, and that is the only way in which man is redeemed. We just simply cannot be redeemed by escapism. We cannot be redeemed by entertainment and diversion, and I think we all know that. But oftentimes people seek some kind of comfort, some kind of redemption from these mirages in the desert that is east of Eden. Well, that wraps up this edition of the program. Philip Telfer has been my guest. He has a new book out called Why Save Alexander. His website is MediaTalk101.org. So visit MediaTalk101.org for more information on these resources. And there's plenty of good things that Philip has to offer. Philip Telfer on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Thanks, Philip. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me on your show. And also, just one last thing, because Media Talk 101 is definitely a great place to visit, but I do have this guide, this 7 considerations in the age of video games. That's actually on my personal website, philiptelfer.com. So there's another option there.
Okay.
It's a free download of this ebook.
Very good. Very good. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.